Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we just thank you tonight for the great power that you have given us. Father, we pray right now that we won't look at our titles. We won't look at our resume, but we will be a servant to you and to all the people we come in contact with. Calls us to be servant-driven, Lord, that we might serve those who are in the world, Lord, that we might serve them as you serve us, Lord, that we can love them where they are and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ before them. Thank you, Lord, tonight for everything that you've done for us, how you have blessed us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this day. Brother Shannon?
Yes. I'm going to take my text from James chapter 1, verse 6. So get your Bible and follow along with me. James was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus, and he says, "But let him ask in faith, that is, the one that's doing the praying. Nothing wavering." We can't waver when we pray. We got to ask in faith. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now, there's sevenfold ways to pray to get answers. Now, we don't just pray just to pray. We pray to get results. That's what we're after. Number one, we pray to the Father. In John chapter 16, verses 23, he assures them that the prayer made in his name will be answered by his Father. He says in verse 23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." In other words, that day, he's talking about when Jesus ascends up on high and it sits at the right hand of God the Father. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus is talking, "whatsoever." Note that word. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name." Whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Notice what Jesus said here. "He will give it you." He didn't say, "I'll think about it. I might do it." He said, "He will give it you." Number one, you got to pray to the Father. Number two, in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 15 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that means we got to believe on Jesus, "he's the Son of God. He said, the works that I do, shall he do also." We're to do the same works that Jesus did. And Jesus didn't stop there, but he goes on and says, "And greater works than these shall he do." We are to not only do the same works as Jesus, but we're to do greater works. He said, "Because I go unto my Father." He ascended up to the Father, and he's now at the right hand of God the Father, and he still has a ministry, and it's the present day ministry of Jesus Christ, where he intercedes for you and I. Verse 13 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," in the name of Jesus, "whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The Father is glorified in the Son when we ask and we get results, when we get answers. Verse 14 says, "If you shall ask anything in my name," in the name of Jesus, he said, "I will do it." And verse 15 says, now there's a condition. God promises has conditions. In other words, if we'll meet those conditions, we'll get those results. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandment." Number three, by the Holy Spirit, we'll pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "also helpeth our infirmities." Now, that word infirmities is not talking about sicknesses, but talking about weaknesses. It's the Spirit that helps our weaknesses. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." In other words, there's times, sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. In other words, when we pray in other tongues, in other words, the Holy Spirit, he helps our infirmities. Because we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, and we pray the perfect prayer. We pray the will of God. Number four, full understanding of rights and privileges. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." When we pray in other tongues, it's our spirit man that prays. Our mind is unfruitful. Verse 15 says, "What is it then?" Notice the word "I will." I will pray with the Spirit. You can will to pray in the Spirit. And he said, "And I will pray with the understanding also." That is praying in English. "I will sing with the Spirit." That's talking about singing in other tongues. "And I will sing with the understanding also." Talking about singing in English here, because that is our language. In other words, our will plays a role in this. Number five, we're to pray in harmony with the Word. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." That is, if we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, then we can ask what we will, and Jesus said, "And it shall be done unto you." Number six, we're to pray in faith, nothing doubting. He said, "But let him ask in faith." That's how we're to ask, in faith. Nothing wavering. We can't waver. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed." Well, one more verse. We are to pray with praise for the answer. So after we ask God, that's when we are to praise him for the answer before we see it happen. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We're not to be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication. Notice this, with thanksgiving, we're to give thanks to God after we ask him. He said, let your request be made known unto God. Now, listen to this, where it says nothing wavering, that means not to stagger. He said, he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He who doubts is like a wave that is rising one minute, sinking the next. One minute he believes, another he does not. He says yes, and then no to what God has promised, never making up his mind which way he believes. He staggers like a drunken man, helpless in prayer. But that's not us. We are not people that waver. Well, I talked to you today about sevenfold ways to pray to get answered. Well, I love you. Jesus loves you. I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amazing love lay
Amen. God. Amen. All that accept it. God loves us with an everlasting love. But a lot of people will not accept that love. They will not accept what God has done on their behalf. Because they are looking at it from the natural sense rather than from the spiritual sense. Just think about the life. Life is wonderful when we live life the way God intended for us to live life. Life is wonderful. There is a power in life when we live it the way we're supposed to live it. You know, a lot of people just go through life like the world goes through life. A lot of Christians are living like the world. They're worrying. They're in fear and doubt, unbelief. And they're living the same way. They're living the same life. And then they're ready to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. A lot of people just ran to go to heaven rather than bringing heaven to earth. Life is so wonderful, but most people will never really enjoy it because they are seeking to live outside of the will of God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Creator of all life must orchestrate it, or it's not real living. If you are a Christian not living for God, then who or what are you living for? Temples of God. We are the temples of God. We ought to live for God. We ought to praise God. We ought to worship God at all times. Life is truly wonderful, but most people will never experience such an amazing encounter, which is life. I hope being a Christian don't just mean going to heaven when we die, but rather bringing that life to earth so the world can see, so the world can experience it through us. That's what I want to see. I want to see that same life that's in heaven come to earth. Jesus says, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm finding that the church is complaining about the world, what the world is doing. They're complaining about all of the filth and all of the policies of the world. But we are divided. It's going to take love in the church to bring us together so we can live the victorious life on earth. As the world came to us for answers, how do we stop the division in the country? Then we would have to say, we don't know because we got division in the church. So can the world really come to us for answers? Can they really come to us and find out how to have a stable marriage? Well, we have about 50% divorce rate in the church. So how can we teach the world about marriage when we don't know about marriage? Marriage doesn't work when sex is in the focus point. Marriage is about a relationship that leads to a friendship like none other. The trust that the husband and wife should develop. Think about this. If they will always be there for the betterment of each other. Marriage should develop a love like God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit that creates something special that is out of this world. Sex is done by many people of all kinds, even those that hate each other. For you see, it can not be by sex. Amen. They hate each other, and they'll have sex. It can only be something special. Loving husband expresses love to his wife. Marriage was created by a loving God. So it makes sense that sex be enjoyed by a man who loves his wife. We need to realize that. It's all about God. This is God's life. This is not your life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through me. This is not your life. This is not my life. It is not the kind of life I choose. It's the kind of life God chose for us. And so we are living in a world. We're living in a world that don't know God. Amen. We're living in a world that don't know God. We're living in a church that won't show the world God. Amen. The lifestyle of Christians are so bad. As one of my mentors said, your life is so bad that I can't hear what you're saying. They can't hear the words we're saying because we got racism in the church. We got everything that the world has in the world in the church. We got envy and strife and all kinds of things going on in the church. And we're trying to show the world a God of holy, a God of perfection, a God of... So we need to live the life that God has called us to live and stand on his word. Time. Every day, all day, we need to stand on the word of God. He must be able to talk to us, give us his direction. Jesus said seven times in the book of Revelation, when he was talking to the seven churches, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Are we listening to the Spirit? Are we listening to people? That is the question. Am I listening to the ways of the world? Am I listening to the ways of God? Do I want the life of God? Or do I want the life of the world? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. I want God. I don't want the world's way. I want God's way. In the name of Jesus, I want to live so I can please God, not men. I don't want your denominations. I don't want your groups. I don't want your scandals. I don't want your cliques. I want the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what the world is looking for. They're looking for Jesus. They are asking, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Never get comfortable with the things of this world because it is passing away faster. Amen. Each day, spend your time seeking the things of God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit for a lasting peace of mind. That's what we need in this world. We need to see a Christian live the life before the world so the world will know that there is a God. And not only is there a God in the world, but there's a God who lives inside of us. We are the temples of God. The world must see God in us. In order for them to walk that God, they must see us walking in peace in the midst of the crisis. They need to see us in love with each other, no matter what the color of our skins are. They must see that there is a God who cares about us. There is a God who cares about us. Amen. Come on, guys. We'll make the world think that God is for somebody else. I'm special. we must be in the temple of God, and that temple is inside of us. Jesus told the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of John, neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. But God will seek such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We need a God. We need a God in America. And that God should be inside of every Christian. We don't need a denomination. We don't need anything else. We need a church that will come and bow the knee to Jesus Christ. We need a church that will say, Lord, put a fire inside of me that I cannot contain, that I cannot control. I want to be in the presence of your love. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody who proclaimed Jesus Christ, not ashamed to preach his gospel. I want to see someone who claimed Jesus Christ is not ashamed to pray over somebody. I don't care where it is. You ought to be able to pray over that person. You ought to be able to say, God is God. He's good. And I know he's good, and I can pray for you, and God will deliver what he said. A strong prayer life began with a strong desire for the words of God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. This creates a spirit of thanksgiving, which creates a harvest of blessing that comes in abundance. He knows your needs and desires, then supplies them before the words come out of your mouth. Yes, strong prayer comes from hungry Christians for the words of God, then heartfelt thanksgiving flows from satisfied believers in God. Wow, praise God. Satan hates Christians that talk to and hear God the Father. He hates those people who will listen to God, who will follow his principles. They spend lots of time getting close to God when others are indulging in the things that have no spiritual value. Many called Christians are moved by Satan to criticize brothers and sisters that are spending time talking and listening to God. I hope you are not being used by that lion who is only keeping you from talking and listening to God. He don't want you to be victorious. The 70 returned to Jesus in Luke 10 and said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We have authority over them. When we use your name, something happens in our lives. We have authority over demons. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Amen. I saw him fall. I saw him get kicked out of heaven like lightning. And I have given you the authority over Satan, over the scorpions, over the snakes. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what we have in God. But we don't operate in that because we listen to what the world has to say. We are quoting the world rather than the words of God. We are quoting the wrong words. We are quoting the words of people who don't even know God. Then we bypass the words of God. So life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we're quoting the words of the world and we're producing that kind of world. If we quote the words of God, we will produce heaven on earth. I just want you to know that, that God has something for you. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be able to pray. He wants you to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be ready in season and out of season. If God has done something for you, nobody ought to be able to stop. No one should be able to stop the glory of God coming out of your mouth. You ought to be able to pray. Thank you, God, for everything you've done for me. When you go in the restaurant, you ought to not be ashamed to pray and thank God for the food he has provided you with. Because everybody is in there. Who cares? Pray anyway. And if they want to join in with you, let them join in with you. But don't stop praising. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop giving honor to your God because people don't want to hear it. I speak to you today. Don't back up on God. I want you to come to the table. Pull yourself up at the table and say, Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the blood that washed my sins away. Thank you, Father, for delivering me from the powers of darkness and translating me into the kingdom of your Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that I'm a child of the Most High God. And there's no demon in hell can stop me because I'm your child. All the demons are subject to us in your name. Father, thank you. My God, I'm getting excited. We'll be right back. Thank you, Father. Lord.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and work without applause. A man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle. A man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authority to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few. Good man,
men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry, men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die, men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good.
Whose life has been renewed.
He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men.
Freedom.
you, good men. Don't let anybody fool you. God don't need you. You need God. So don't ever think that you are doing God a favor because you're speaking for God. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to speak for God. It is a privilege for you to be able to tell the whole world about God. Who else would do this? God has given you the anointing. He has given you his word. All you have to do is give him your word, the word that God has given you. Don't give him your words. Give him God's words, and he will set you free. It is when we know that God has set us free, can we proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. There's nothing you can do to stop God from using you. Because God wants to use you where you are. He don't want you to be somebody else. He wants to use you where you are. You may have a message. You may have a message that somebody needs. Somebody needs right now. And God wants you to deliver a message. It may be in a department store. It may be on a car lot. It may be anywhere on the job. God wants us to be bold and say, Jesus, save me. He came into my life. Hey, man, let me pray for you. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. Let's call down miracles on people. Let them know that there is a God who cares about them. And I pray tonight that you will shout out to him. That you will just, there'll be a fire so inside of you that you can't wait. You can't wait to see somebody so you can tell them about the goodness of God in your life. That's all you have to do is just tell the story. Your testimony. Just tell your story. That's all. You don't have to tell Abraham's story. You don't know Abraham's story. You just read a few verses in Genesis. You don't really know what happened inside of Abraham when God told him to take his only son, take the son of promise, and sacrifice him. You don't know how Abraham failed. But you know when God asked you to do something, you can tell your story. How does God want to reach a world that's in darkness? He wants those who are in light to speak his words of love and mercy. I just want to thank you tonight for being here. This broadcast goes all over the world. There's a chance the message I preach tonight will reach several million, maybe even a half a billion people. This message could reach a lot of people. I don't take this lightly. I want to preach the Word of God. Nobody has to prompt me to preach. I want to preach the Word of God. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell men how to treat their wives and how to be good fathers. I want to do that. I don't have to do that. There is no pressure on me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to do that. There was no pressure on me to love my wife as I love myself. I wanted to do that. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to be able to stay anywhere. It says, I want to minister to those who come in my path. I want to pray for them because I would want somebody to pray for me. I just want you to know that. You have an opportunity to preach. You ought to preach. You got a mouth, and God has saved you. You ought to deliver that message with boldness. With confidence, because your God is might and power, and that might and power lives inside of you. Thank you, Father. Jared, do you have any words?
They all have a wonderful day, and God bless, and that I'll continue to pray for those that are in need. And also, please pray for me. I can use extra strength in the body of Christ, and that I love you all. Thank you.
What you pray? What you pray for?
Okay. Father God, in your...
Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do and all the visible and invisible blessings that you've put each and every one of us, even at this very moment. We just thank you for just always being there and for touching us in ways that our spirits couldn't even grasp. God, I thank you for taking me higher. I thank you for showing me exactly what I needed to feel. I thank you for loving me besides the things that I do. Even when I didn't love myself, Lord Jesus, you loved me greater than as a father should love his child. I thank you for the confidence, the joy, the peace, and the reassurance of who I am, and to be a part of your will, and for teaching me how to desire the things that you desire with choice. I thank you and I praise you for your strength and your love, and I worship your mighty and wonderful name. I thank you for this opportunity to be here with these wonderful people and to be able to speak out to thousands that are in the same place as I am right now. I thank you for this opportunity and this chance to be able to say thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I want to look at something out of Colossians right quick before our time goes out. Paul was talking to the church at Colossae, and he says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Remember, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak right now to those who have addictions right now. I command that you be delivered in the name of Jesus right now. We break those curses. We break those doubts right now. We come against the spirit of fear right now. I break that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. of Jesus right now. I deliver you from that by the authority of Jesus Christ right now. Come out, demons, right now. Demons of perversion, come out in the name of Jesus right now, that we can praise and worship God, because marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Right now we cast those demons off, the saints of God right now. We cast those demons off right now in the name of Jesus. We come against same-sex marriage. We curse that spirit right now in the name of Jesus right now. We curse those spirits. We curse those spirits of shacking up right now. We cast those spirits out in the name of Jesus right now. That marriages will take place in the name of Jesus, that we will honor our God. He set marriage in, he set it in motion when he gave Adam Eve to be his wife. We set it in motion in this nation right now. We call for holiness in this nation. We call for repentance from the White House to the outhouse. We call for confessions of our sins in the church houses all over America right now, all over the world right now. We call for repentance in the churches right now. We come against division spirits by the authority of Jesus Christ. We set in motion the glory of God will destroy division in the body of Christ. We speak in the name of Jesus right now that no demon can stand before us. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, that we will become bold as we pray, bold as we witness Jesus Christ. I pray for that right now in the name of Jesus, that we will not bow down to the golden image. My God, we will not bow down to the gods of this nation. We will not bow down to the gods of this world. Whatever it costs us, we are willing to stand and proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ. We are willing to stand and say, for you, Lord, I will live. For you, Lord, I will die in the name of Jesus. They may laugh at me, but that's all right, Lord. I'll love them anyway. They may try to come against me, Lord, but I'll love them anyway, because you are God. You're my God. I have boldness and confidence in you that I can bring down the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, Father. I have been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your Son. I will be bold, Lord. I will pray in boldness. I will preach in boldness, Lord, because you are a bold God. When you call the earth into being, you call light, you was bold, Lord. You had confidence. When you created this world, Lord, you had confidence. You had boldness. And when you said, let us make man in our own image, you had boldness. You had confidence that your work would be done. And when you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, you was bold, Lord. And he hung out there in the midst of the public, folk ridiculing him. He hung out there with our sins on him. He died for us. 3 days and 3 nights. In the heart of the earth. Then you caused his eyes to open. You caused breath to come into his nostrils. You caused all of his part is to come back intact. And he resurrected with boldness and comforting. I will not keep quiet because Jesus paid the price for me to proclaim the gospel. His gospel. This is not your gospel. This is not your denominational gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will not keep quiet. I will proclaim.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him.
and confidence. I will pray for those who need prayer. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world of darkness. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is your power unto those who believe. To the Jew first, and to the Gentiles. We come tonight, Lord, to close this part of the broadcast out because we love you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you for using me to be a part of such a great night. And I know the people to hear this message will hear this message. And not only will they hear the message, they will accept Jesus Christ. And those who are saved will proclaim the same message of hope for another group of people until the whole world knows that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus resurrected from the dead. That's why we are here. May you truly, truly give us all things to enhance your ministry. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God truly bless you is our prayers. Good night, and I love you.